Earlier this week, we heard of the shocking scandal out of Victoria that a criminal defence lawyer had been used as an informant for the police in several high-profile cases. Well, now Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews has called for a royal commission into misconduct within the police force and how this revelation could affect previous convictions. Now, to discuss what this scandal means for Victoria, I'm joined now by Darren Palmer, Associate Professor of Criminology at Deakin University. Darren, thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Julia.
Good morning to you. So you don't need to be a law expert to know that a lawyer shouldn't inform against their client. Just how bad is it that this has happened? And what was your initial reaction to this?
Somewhat shocked because it's not a one-off bit of information that a lawyer has handed on in relation to a threat against another person or the like. This is far more systematic. It went on for a number of years. And it goes to the most serious types of crime because it was all about the so-called gangland wars, which were well documented in the Underbelly series. And there were real concerns that the police were struggling to address the gangland killings and then have partnered up with this lawyer who was representing a number of the people who were involved in the gangland wars and passed on information. She became the informer in a totally inappropriate manner.
And what are the potential consequences of this? Can this lead to overturning of previous convictions?
It can. There's two parts to that. One is that she was an informer for a large number of cases and they will be reviewed. But more importantly, there's at least 20 cases that have already been identified as raising concerns that they may be unsafe convictions that may be miscarriages of justice. Now, that's what the Royal Commission will look at in great detail to determine whether the practices that have gone on in relation to the partnership, if you like, between the lawyer and the Victoria Police, whether they tainted the process to the extent that they are unsafe convictions.
Right, and so we don't know completely the terms of reference for the Royal Commission yet. What does it need to focus on besides what you've just mentioned? Does it need to broaden its scope and look at the culture of the Victorian Police?
Absolutely. This has been an issue in Victoria for many, many years. I've raised it on several different occasions involving different kind of aspects that raise real concerns about the ethics of policing in Victoria. At this stage, the Premier has tried to make it quite narrow and focused on only those cases where the Director of Public Prosecutions has written to people who have been convicted, raising concerns that they may want to examine further whether there are grounds seeking an appeal or to have the decision overturned, which is what the Royal Commission in the first instance will focus on. But it definitely needs to go far higher, or far more broader, if you like, to look at the ethical practices or lack thereof in the Victoria Police.
Mm. And so, as you've mentioned, you've called for an inquiry over the years a couple times. Why did it take so long for this to happen? Was a commission needed all along or... how did it take so long to happen?
Look, it's really interesting. If you go back to the Fitzgerald Inquiry, which I know is a long time ago now, but that was in the late 1980s in Queensland, where they were very resistant to an inquiry. And finally, it was mixed up in a whole lot of other politics for Joe Bjelke-Petersen for Canberra PM issue, which meant there was a change in the leadership of the government, which opened up to a very narrow inquiry. But as soon as Fitzgerald got in, the terms of reference were broadened greatly, and Fitzgerald found widespread corruption, not only amongst the police, it was also other parts of the criminal justice system, including lawyers, I might add, and politicians. And there was an ABC Four Corners program at the end of Fitzgerald. It's about the Moonlight State. That was the name of the show. And the Victorian representative said at that time, we don't have the problems that Queensland has. It was quite clear that there were ongoing problems in Victoria at the time. And it's that kind of mentality, I'd argue, that's held strong in Victoria, despite a number of very contained inquiries showing that there were major problems both at the operational street level, but also at the management suite level, if you like. And we've just resisted that time and time again, as if we don't have the problems that existed in Queensland identified by the Fitzgerald Inquiry, or in your own state, New South Wales, the Royal Commission. Again, at the time the commission was being argued for, the politicians were very strong in denying that there was any problem. And if they still hold that there wasn't any problem, then they simply haven't read the Wood Royal Commission to show that there were widespread, large-scale problems in New South Wales. We've got them in Victoria.
Right, so maybe this commission then is a good start to kind of wipe away this denial. How could the Victorian government ensure something like this doesn't happen again?
Well, I think there's several parts to it. I think that a Royal Commission done well, and that's a big question mark, done well, can really open up a police organisation. I think that's what happened in Queensland for sure, and in New South Wales following Wood. I think part of the Queensland experience, and to a lesser extent Wood, because it was just a different time and a different context, is to have the introduction of independent agencies that conduct research and have access to data and information from the police to make the police organisations much more transferable on a daily basis. You really need that embedded research capacity. That's one side of it. To provide the evidence-based knowledge that we need for policing practices. So it's not all about corruption, it's about best practices. The other side of it is the independence of the corruption or anti-corruption bodies. We fought in Victoria over the introduction of an anti-corruption body for many years, and we've gone through three different iterations, if you like, from an ombudsman to an Office of Police Integrity to the independent broad-based accountability commission. IBAC's really interesting because it has played a role in this precise process. There's an argument about whether it was too late coming to the party, being involved, and whether it didn't go strong enough. But I think it did play an important role, but I think there can be more done to strengthen the role of IBAC. But I don't think it's just about an anti-corruption investigation body. You need that broader approach to research, which was really important to the post-Fitzgerald reforms in Queensland.
Completely, and totally with the proactive approach and looking at the practices from the get-go, for sure. Well, Darren, thank you so much for your time today on the show. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia.